So, with gratitude, let us turn to the Lord in prayer. Almighty God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, Sarah, Rebecca, and Leah, send your spirit to be upon us this day. Inspire us with your word, and let the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, for you are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. On November 9th, 2016, I woke up at 6 a.m. and I looked at my phone and I read the news in disbelief. I walked to my kitchen, I started the coffee, and then I stood there, staring at nothing in particular. And then the tears came. And my disbelief turned to despair. And I felt utterly helpless. So I got ready and I went to work because there was nothing else for me to do. I boarded the subway that day because it was raining. And I remember thinking how appropriately the rain and the weather matched what I was feeling. And I remember the faces of the people on the train that day, the faces of all of the staff when I got here that day, the people that I passed every single day for the next several weeks. Those faces were faces of people who had not only lost hope in the future of our country, but with each passing day became more and more afraid. This might not be the case for all of you, but for so many people after the election, fear was the only emotion that they could feel. It had seeped into their very beings. And then only a few weeks later, we started Advent, which is a season that provides space to long for the coming of Christ. It is a season specifically of lament, one where you can cry out to God to deliver us from oppression. It is a time where you can name everything that it is that oppresses you and look forward to the time when God will come and deliver you. So we prepare for the coming of Christ and then Christmas Eve, we light candles, and we proclaim that the light has entered the world and that God has answered our cries. It's the climax of the lament, which doesn't mean that the lament is over, or that we pretend that the oppression has magically ceased, but it's when the lament turns to praise and conviction that whatever it is that's oppressing us, God will answer our cries. God will make it right. You see, a lament doesn't climax when everything's just ending happily ever after. A lament climaxes when we proclaim and believe that oppression will not last forever, and that God will show up. So Christmastide is the season that follows, and I'll be honest, it wasn't very joyful around here. And honestly, I don't think that I could be a person of integrity and stand up here and lead you in joyful celebrations. Now, we did worship God together, we did sing songs of praise, and we proclaimed and believed that God came into the world. There was some joy around here, but it wasn't unbridled. And we didn't pretend that everything is okay. And I still won't pretend that everything is okay as we enter this season of Epiphany, because it's not. But what I will do is I will encourage you to let go of some of the fear and the despair that has been holding us back for the last several months. Not because I don't think that there is anything to fear, because there's plenty to fear. And not because I don't think that we should go around saying that everything is okay, because it's not. I want to encourage you to let go of some fear, because if we don't, then our paralyzing despair will render us useless and frankly unfaithful. We let go of fear because we remember that God has claimed us in baptism. We let go of fear because we trust that God is with us when the enemy is tearing us down, providing for us every week at this table. And ultimately, we let go of fear so that we are able to go out there and to proclaim the gospel, to challenge the empire, and to bring news of God's kingdom on earth. I'm sick of being afraid. And I hope that all of you are too, because there is so much for us to do, and I just don't think that we can do it if we are afraid. So today, I pray that our lament shifts from despair to hope while we explore the text which chronicles the very beginning of Jesus' ministry on earth. This is an episode that is found in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and each of these gospels include three things: that the Spirit comes down on Jesus in baptism, that that same Spirit drives Jesus immediately into the wilderness to be tempted by Satan, and that after those 40 days of temptation, Jesus returns and starts preaching and teaching immediately. I prefer Mark's account because he says in 7 verses what Matthew and Luke take more than a chapter to say, and this isn't just about my preference for efficiency. It's because Mark's succinct account allows us to see the intimate connections among these early events of Jesus' ministry. These three episodes are quick, and they follow and depend on one another. So the baptism. The Spirit comes down upon Jesus in his baptism, and a voice comes from heaven that proclaims to Jesus his adoption by God. You are my beloved. With you I am well pleased. God claims Jesus with the Spirit. And then that exact same Spirit sends him immediately into the wilderness to be tested. Mark doesn't dwell on the details of these 40 days like the other gospel writers do, but he is sure to include the most important detail about that wilderness time, that the angels waited on him. So this is God's faithfulness to the promise that God made in Jesus' baptism. You are mine, and I will provide for you. These 5 verses are so important because this is the inauguration of Jesus' ministry on earth. This is the beginning of everything. And it's important because it begins with God. It begins with God's actions and promises. God acts first and demonstrates faithfulness, power, and grace. And it's because of this that Jesus can come out of the wilderness to news of John the Baptist's arrest, yet still has the strength and the courage and the heart to immediately begin proclaiming the coming kingdom of God. The empire had imprisoned John the Baptist for this very thing, but Jesus is not afraid to come out swinging and continue what John had started, to proclaim to the world that a regime was coming, a new regime, and that the people better get ready. And this is where we find ourselves today. People are being murdered, arrested, mocked, publicly shamed and derided for their courage and calls for justice. But this shall not deter us. And we will go forth proclaiming that the kingdom has come near, just like Jesus. And it's because God has been faithful to this place. God has been faithful to us in this place. The Spirit was sent to rest on this old building so many years ago and turned it into something special. This building was resurrected to bring about the purposes of God and to bring about the kingdom. And God continually sends angels along the way every single day to care for the beloved children who gather in this place proclaiming a different way. When we gather here, every single time we gather, every single time people gather throughout the week, we are reminded of that faithfulness. That day after day, no matter what, our doors are open. that day after day, we don't just welcome people in who are different from us. We confess that every single person who walks in this place is a beloved child of God and truly belongs here. We acknowledge the full humanity of one another, regardless of creed, race, gender, or sexuality, and we celebrate and value all of the gifts that people have to offer. So in order to continue being this kind of community, though, we have to let go of some fear, and we have to be a place and a people of hope, a courageous people who have witnessed God's faithfulness and who aren't afraid to proclaim it to the world, aren't afraid to proclaim that the kingdom of God has drawn near and that oppression and injustice and isolation will not persist. Every single day that we show up here, no matter what capacity we are showing up in, every day we do it, we are dedicating ourselves to God and to this community and to this mission and to this city. And today we will make some special promises to one another. Not all of you have to do this, especially first-time comers or folks who are visiting. But today, we are filling out these commitment cards. Some of you have already done this, and I've already put them in the basket. And some of you will do it today. These commitment cards are a way of making a financial commitment for 2017. It is a specific promise that we will make today, and those commitments could change throughout the year, and that is okay. But the act of filling out this card and putting it in the basket is one of courage. When we can say to one another and to God that economic uncertainty and scarcity will not make us afraid to use our money for social change. And I hope that you will make these promises despite the uncertainty that we are facing within this community. We are in a season of transition, and we don't exactly know what the future is going to be like. But I hope that you remember that just as God has been faithful to us in the past, God will never cease being faithful to us in this place. And so, remembering this faithfulness, I invite you to participate in the mission study. This is a thing that churches do when they're in a transition for pastoral leadership, and it's a way of a community declaring who it is today and who it wants to be in the future. And so all of you are welcome to participate in this survey. If you feel like this is a place that you belong or you want to belong, participate in it, because together we get to dream about who we want to be. So it's online. I can send you a link if you didn't get one. But today, Tammy, where are you at, Tammy? Tammy's here, and Alex is over here, and Brooke, who I thought would be back there, she's not here. Okay. Well, Tammy and Alex are going to be available after worship today with some computers. So if you have literacy issues or computer issues, vision issues, whatever your issues may be, Tammy and Alex want to sit down with you and make sure that you can get through that survey. And if you didn't get it in an email last week, please email me so that you can participate. This is an act of courage. It takes time to sit down and think about seriously who we are in this community and who we want to be. And so I hope that you will participate. It is my hope and prayer that every single thing that we do in this space together will give us the courage to propel us into the world and to proclaim that political division and intimidation will not make us afraid of making our voices heard, that we will continue to cry out, that we will call our representatives, that we will remind them who they serve, that we will declare what we think equality looks like, that we will participate in protests and sign petitions, we will educate ourselves, and we will not let despair or fear drive us to fulfill a prophecy that says that we can't do anything to make social change. Today, we celebrate the inauguration of Jesus' ministry on earth. And we remember the faithfulness of God in this text, in this place, in our lives. And we go forth into the world proclaiming God's reign. I am so sick of being afraid. And sisters and brothers, I hope that you are too, because there is way too much work for us to do to be paralyzed by that fear. So let us take heart at this table. Let us take heart when we participate in the offering later in service. Let us take heart in all the ways that we fellowship and gather together, knowing that God has been faithful to us. God will continue to be faithful, and we will not have to be afraid to go out and to declare that the kingdom of God has drawn near. I hope that we can do this together. In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen.